This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station. The Bible continues to be one of the best-selling books, but how does the Bible become meaningful to its readers? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that when you ascended into heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit to take that word which you had left behind and make it living truth in our lives. And so today we pray that wherever that word is being proclaimed, it may bear fruit in the lives of each one of us who hear it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 5. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. My wife and I were sitting at dinner some time ago with a woman who belonged to a church where great things are happening. So I opened the conversation by saying, "I hear that you are having some wonderful experiences in your congregation." And that's all it took. This enthusiast for her church began to talk, and she said, "You know, it's really a thrilling experience to see people become Christians. How after they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, and their lives are changed, they become entirely new people." She went on to expound on this, and I was really interested in what she had to say. However, I was also very much aware that there was another lady who had joined us at the table, and she was not entering into the conversation. So I apologized a little bit and said to her, "We Christians get excited when we see what God is doing in the lives of so many people, and I noticed that you're not entering into the conversation, so we'll change the subject." And she said, "Oh, by no means do that. I am enjoying this conversation very much. In fact," she said, "it's really good for me. I like your enthusiasm." I am not attending a church right now. In fact, I haven't attended church very much, really, since I was a youth. Occasionally, spasmodically, and I'm in one of those times now when I'm not going at all. But I was raised in a church, and I want you to know that I am not a heathen. I understand what the Bible has to say. My father was not very much of a churchman. He did not go very often. But mother would take us kids, and we would go to Sunday school. She'd go to church. So I learned a great deal about the Bible from some of those very dedicated Sunday school teachers. And she began to talk about the creation story and Adam and Eve, and she giggled a little bit about that, as much as to say, "Well, I don't know if we believe that anymore, but I know the story anyway." She said, "I really enjoy the 23rd Psalm. It is a marvelous piece of poetry." And when my mother died, that was the text that we asked the minister to preach on for the funeral service. And of course, the year wouldn't be complete if we didn't hear the Christmas and the Easter stories. So she was right. The lady had some contact with the Bible. She was not completely illiterate to what its contents were. But I could really sense that these stories had not become very meaningful in her life. And so that raises the question, how do these Bible stories, the message of God's holy word, become living truths in our lives? And that's what I'd like to talk with you a little bit today about. Last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to spend a couple of more weeks on this whole work and the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not want to become too theological, because I know how quickly I could lose you. But I need to talk to you about the Trinity. The Christian church is Trinitarian, not Unitarian. The Trinitarian. What does that mean? It means that God is one, but he has revealed himself as three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, who is the first person of the Trinity, is the one who we often refer to as God the Creator. He is the one who we read about, especially in Genesis 1 and 2, tells about how he created the world doesn't necessarily give us the how, but it tells us that he is the creator of all of this. And when it was all very good, then he said, now I am going to be about the crowning work of the creation, and that is to create man and woman in my image. So that is how you and I came to being, regardless of what anybody else might say. This is the biblical truth. And here we have a great verse from the psalmist who seems to describe it so very well. He says in Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, God. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And certainly when we get some understanding of the human body and see how it works, truly the psalmist was right. We are wonderfully made. Just take that respiratory system of ours and see how that functions. Take a look at how we can carry on in the same body. Some people for many, many, many years, even up to 100, and they say they're going to go beyond that now. Well, that's God the Creator. And then we have God the Redeemer. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God who became incarnate. He came to this world, took on himself the form of a body, and walked here for 33 years. And now we have just come through the Lenten and the Easter seasons, and we have spent a great deal of time on Jesus' suffering and death as a payment for the sins of the world. But we have some very, very specific statements of Jesus telling us why he did come, what his primary work is as the second person of the Trinity. He says in Matthew 20, 28, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. See, I'm coming to pay for it. We're out of sorts. We're out of relationship with God. And something had to be done to take that sin away so that we could be restored into relationship with God. Or in another great passage of Scripture found in the 19th chapter of St. Luke, verse 10, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I are lost. Outside of Jesus Christ, our sin keeps us from a relationship with God. But when Christ comes and we receive him as our Savior, then we are saved, and then we are united with our Father in heaven for all eternity. So he is the Redeemer, the one who has bought us back, the second person of the Trinity. But now comes the Holy Spirit. And we talked about him last week, and when we celebrated Pentecost, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more next week. Who is the Holy Spirit? And Jesus has said here in the verse that is before us as a part of our text, he is the Counselor. He is the one who will lead us into a deeper knowledge of the gospel and empower us to believe these promises of Jesus. To change these Bible stories into living truths which direct our lives. In other words, the Bible story says that we are made in the image of God. Now, what does that really mean? And so the Holy Spirit begins to open this up, and it uses other parts of Scripture to tell us that to be created in the image of God, this is going deeper. The Holy Spirit, it says, that you are created with a mind in which you, with which you can think. You are created with a will with which you can make a decision. You are created with a soul. And suddenly I begin to understand who I am. Now that is a work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I come to the conclusion that what is said in the Word of God, though it's actually not said in this statement, in God's eyes, I am a precious and an important person. not because of whatever I might have accomplished, but because of who I am. God has created me, God has saved me, and God has called me to be His ambassador when I belong to Him. That's who I am. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to take these passages of Scripture and make them living and true for us. That's why He has come. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the text that I have today was before Pentecost, but Jesus was getting them ready for all of these things that were going to happen. He was going to die, He was going to be raised, He was going to ascend into heaven, and then He was going to send the Holy Spirit that we celebrated so well last week. Here, then, the Lord looks at their faces as He is explaining all of this to them, and it still didn't make sense, because the Holy Spirit had not yet entered into their heart as He would on that Pentecost Sunday. He said, "Now I am going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away." What a mouthful. We cannot bypass that. We cannot look at it only on the surface. God is saying, it is a good thing that I'm going away, but you're grieved about that. You see, they had begun to build in their minds the kind of a kingdom that they wanted. And so this would go on for the rest of their lives, and what happened beyond that they did not know and perhaps didn't care too much. But they could see that as Jesus would walk there in Palestine, He would gather more people, and there would be a nice crowd, maybe a big crowd. Maybe He would have a kingdom of, say, 5,000 people, and maybe the Romans sometimes would have to lift their eyes and say, should we take care of these people, lest there be an insurrection and that they throw over the Roman Empire, at least as far as this part of the world is concerned? That's what they would like to have had. It was their own, and they could have places of real importance. It's sort of like a big church. You can build your own kingdom. Now you can have all the niceties of life, and they could have a Savior who would walk with them, who would be their inspiration and their great preacher and teacher, and they would say, "Come and hear Him, but don't go any further." Or Jesus could be the great miracle worker, and they'd say, "Now, what do you think of that?" No, Jesus said, "That can't be. It is necessary that I go away, that the Holy Spirit comes. That when I go away, He will take what I have given to you and make it real, living, dynamic, so that you can get enthusiastic about it too. And you see, when I go away, then the Holy Spirit will come, and He will be everywhere present. He will go with you, each one of you. He's not limited to one or to one place, but He's the one who walks with you. And when life is difficult, He is there to lift you up. When you become confused about what you're supposed to be doing for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will direct you. When you are guilty for not doing what the Lord wants you to do, He will be there to grant you the forgiveness of your sin. It is necessary for the Holy Spirit to come. You cannot build your own little kingdom. I'm going to build it through the work of the Holy Spirit, strengthening the faith of the believer, encouraging them, directing them, making them visionaries. Great things are going to happen because the Holy Spirit is coming. And nothing will happen unless the Holy Spirit does His work in the hearts of people. So there's the work of the Holy Spirit, the God, the Father who created us, God the Son who saved us, God the Holy Spirit who will work in us and make us true believers, so that when we sit at the table, we can be real enthusiastic about how God is using us. Unbelievable what He can do when that Holy Spirit works in the life of that individual. But you say, okay, how does the Holy Spirit get into my life? At 2 o'clock some morning, am I suddenly going to be awakened and whammo? Here's something has happened. Is it an emotional experience? I can't help but believe that there's some emotion connected with it, but no. It can be very, very quiet. Listen to what the Word of God says. Speaking for Jesus, St. John writes in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." What a picture. And that door is the Bible. So he said, "I'm standing at the door knocking. It is tomorrow morning. The day is before you." And here is the Savior saying, "Okay, you remember what you heard yesterday? Wouldn't you like to let me in?" How do we do that? When you open the Bible, you are opening the door, and the voice of Jesus Christ comes in. And then He's going to take these verses, the whole Bible, and make them living and dynamic in your life. That is why so many people can become enthusiastic. For they not only know some of these great old truths that they have learned, and we're thankful to God that they've been taught to us, because it is through these old truths that we really get the living message. But He's going to speak to us, make them come alive, and have us grow day by day. So it's God who created us, Jesus who saved us, the Holy Spirit who takes these truths and makes them living. And the whole context of it all is opening the Bible and letting our Lord talk to us clearly, warmly each day. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work in our midst. Take the scriptures and make them living. Help us to see our part in establishing this kingdom, the kingdom that shall have no end, right here where we live, and for all eternity. Lord, there are many who do not understand what the Bible is saying. They have learned the truths as little children, perhaps, but they still have not met the Savior. Come, Lord Jesus, and present yourself in their midst, that they too may enjoy the salvation that comes in Christ alone. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to support this ministry with a memorial gift. A memorial gift is given to remember a loved one or friend. Address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are thankful to all those who support this ministry with their prayers and finances. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.